The Hurling Pod on Off the Ball.
I'm looking for a forward. I'd love to have skill, I'd love to have pace, and I'd love to have size. What the Cork Six forwards have is they've all those three things in abundance in different areas.
Free wherever you get your podcast.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
With AIB, proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
And welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. You can WhatsApp us today, 0879 180 180, or you can text us 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. This is the Saturday panel, barring a replay in the final. Three matches to go in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Today at 5, it's Kerry and Tyrone going head-to-head in the first semi at Croke Park. Then tomorrow at 4, it's the second semi-final involving Donegal and Meath. And to preview the games, we got in the studio, delighted to have Kerry's former player, Sean O'Sullivan, and ex-Meath skipper, Shane McEntee. Sean and Shane, you're very welcome.
Thanks, John. Yeah.
What's been like in Meath the last week? 16 years since the semi-final. Massive buzz, probably a sellout tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been big now, yeah. Yeah, you don't go too long without a... chatting to someone new about it, and flags up around and bunting. There's a good group in Des Moines where I'm from. These the Iron Bombers, they stitch things for kind of bollards in Des Moines, and it was all green and gold being put on it there the other night. So it's really catching on. Yeah, huge excitement.
Kerry folk are hard to please as well, Sean, but there might be a bit of a renewed smiles on people's faces after the last day.
Yeah, there certainly is, John. We kind of approached the Armagh game with a lot of trepidation. We weren't quite sure where our lads were at. I suppose there was a hardcore group of Kerry supporters who felt there was a performance in us and that we'd win the game. Now, did we see coming what actually prevailed in Croke Park 2 weeks ago? Probably not. It was just 15 minutes of just absolutely top-class exhilarating football. We take the same again today if we could get it. Not sure it's going to work out like that, but certainly the mood in Kerry has changed. But if there's any team that can take advantage of that maybe over excitement, it's our friends from up in Tyrone, John.
What is flow state like as a sports person? Because you had flow state against Armagh for about that 15 minute spell.
I think it's a feeling where everything that you've kind of prepared for and worked for on the training ground is just clicking, really, Shane, isn't it? It's hard to explain, really, John, but it's like everything is just coming off and you're just in the zone, I suppose, for want of a kind of an old cliche phrase, but you are in the zone and you're looking around at fellas and they're in the zone and you're just feeding off each other, really, particularly when your leaders are doing it, like Shawnee Shea, for instance, for Kerry. Mm-hmm. Like when he took on that first half, first of all, especially when we conceded the goal and he came up and got those scores to, you know, steady the ship, you knew he was in the zone. And then probably the fellas around him just bought into it and saw what he was doing. And the second half, then he brought in the David Cliffords and Paddy coming on as well, yeah. just naturally. And when you're in that state and you have that role, it's very hard to stop.
Yeah, like they got a lot of praise for that kick-out press, which went really, really well in the second half. And I think when you get into that state, as you say, Sean, they're so committed to what they're doing. Mm. Yes, you're tactically well set up, unless you're physically well primed, but they had a real belief that we were set to do this here, and whatever decision we're making on instinct is working. So wherever the ball was being played, you know, Armagh have got a bit of sick after, but Kerry just edit. And I think it's a combination of, you know, physical preparation, having the tactical nuance and backing everything you're doing there. And once it started rolling, as you say, it's kind of like a multiplier effect. Mm-hmm. Lads were just feeding off each other's energy and just fully committing to what they're doing and getting results from it.
And a bit of anger as well, John.
Can you repeat anger?
Yeah, I think you can, yeah. Eamon Fitzmaurice wrote a brilliant piece in the Examiner today. I read it coming up on the train. He was talking about Roy Keane with Roddy Doyle during the week down in the Marquee in Cork, and Roddy Doyle asked Roy Keane about his anger and motivation. It can be, but it has to be channeled right. But you can use that on numerous occasions, you know, and Jack O'Connor, from my time working with him, is an absolute expert at tapping into guys and finding that little, whatever it is, to get guys motivated on the day. But today it'll be different for the Kerry players. It mightn't be what they had to face going into Armagh, where there was a lot of their own people getting on their backs. But Jack will find something else to focus their minds today, and they'll really have to be focused, because Tyrone are coming, and myself and Shane were talking outside in reception. It could be an ambush, and Tyrone are no better men to do it, you know.
What did Jack work with you on? How did he either get under your skin or put the arm around the shoulder? How did he motivate you?
Yeah, he's a very, very good man manager, Jack. Really, really good. I just felt in the lead up to games he was excellent. He was excellent at just, you know, tapping into you, and he had no issue at all telling you where you needed to buck up and improve. But he was also very, very good at seeing what you're bringing to the team and what you're bringing to what the team want to do, and that we want more of that. And I felt really in the week leading up to games, John, he was excellent on the training ground. Not so much in terms of taking the sessions. He would take the football, but just you could see him going from guy to guy on the training pitch and just talking them through it. And he hasn't changed. He's still a very, very focused guy. We often say a cranky Jack is a focused Jack. So we hope the cranky levels are up high today.
Because he's brought Kerry to 7 All-Ireland finals. He's been involved for over 3 decades, yeah, in some way, shape or form. It just feels sometimes, maybe it's just a cliche or people don't know, it just feels in Kerry that it's all or nothing. That if you don't win the All-Ireland, it's a failure, it's bust. Is that the way people think down there? Because it just seems a bit unfair if that's the case.
Unfortunately, John, for most of the time, it is. It really is. It's really cutthroat. The one thing I will say, though, in Jack is that we have to remember that Jack just didn't come in and bring senior teams to All-Irelands. Jack has a record of coaching at all levels in Kerry. And particularly, a lot of the guys running out today in Croke Park for Kerry, Jack had as minor manager. So he didn't just see a senior team where he could walk into and see the potential of winning All-Irelands. Jack went back to basics and he actually went down to the lowest level, to under-18s as it was at the time. But go back into Jack's career in the mid to late 90s where he worked with Paddy O'Shea, the seniors. He also took over. I played under 21 with Jack, so he's done it at all levels. So I think just saying that, you know, it's just a kind of a, you know, Jack walks in and he sees a good squad of senior players that has the potential to win an All-Ireland, that's unfair because he's done it across the board. But Kerry will never change, John. That's just the way it is. You know, it's incessant. It's you know, and that's where we have to be very careful today, because the county was nearly in the depths of despair leading into the Armagh game. And now we're on the top of Carntool going into today. So we have to be very, very careful that we just manage expectations. If we get a performance today, I think we'll win. But there's real sense of who we're playing, the history. We just have to be really, really honest.
I grew up hating Meath, I'm sorry to say, Shane.
Sorry, we kind of like when that's the case, so we're hoping that's coming back.
And that's because Meath were successful and Dublin weren't, and I was a young person following the Dubs and crying my eyes out when Charlie Redmond missed a penalty in 1988. Because Meath were tough as nails and they were winners. And then Sean Boylan was able to do it with not only that squad, 87, 88, but then he was able to renew and refresh with Trevor Giles, Graham Geraghty, et al, 96, 99. But it's great now that there are new heroes for young people like Jordan Morris, Matthew Costello, that there are new heroes now coming to the fore for me, for all the young kids and supporting the team.
Yeah, and like there's, I was asked about this somewhere else recently about like kind of the history and the, you know, how much do you lean on those really good teams? And like you're always brought up in it and everyone's still very, very aware of the fellas from that team. But I think it's gone too far for that to have any, I don't know, substantial weight in terms of, you know, a sense of fear factor from other teams, whatever. So it's really important that the lads are doing that now. Absolutely. And you can still lean into that from a heritage perspective. But I think it is really important, because the longer that gap builds, it doesn't carry that same weight. Like the whole thing that, you know, Meath were never beaten, and Meath, that was based off a lot of those teams. You got to get it back, because the teams you're playing now, they didn't grow up watching that, or, you know, we are aware of the stories of it, absolutely. But, you know, it's huge, and it's definitely, it's built a, you know, the excitement that we're seeing at the moment, you certainly haven't seen since probably back in 2001, the last All-Ireland final arena. And it started with the Leinster final. I think that the nature of the Leinster final this year, knowing that you weren't facing Dublin, it created such an atmosphere and such a buy-in. And okay, it didn't go Meade's way that day, but I think the lads' reaction to that has been really impressive. The Cork game after wasn't spectacular by any means, but there was so much pressure on trying to reignite the season after kind of the come down of the Leinster final, and they held on to that, got through a tough group, and all that kind of momentum of support and buy-in from the public has just grown since then. So yeah, no, it's huge. I really don't think you can kind of overstate how important that is for the county and for the interest going forward.
And we talk about Jack there and Sean. Robbie, you know well from Dunboyne. Mm. And you've been in the inner sanctum recently enough, so you know how Robbie ticks. First season, obviously had success with Kilmacud, and how he's got these players humming.
Yeah, Robbie's a real character. That's kind of the general consensus of him. He's all about the field goal and making lads. Like, I'd have known him when I was a child. He would have played football with my dad in Des Moines. And then he took over the team. I only played a couple of games with him. I was still a minor. So I only played a couple of games with him. But I remember, so the year previous to that, he would have got a group of us that were maybe decent 16, 17 year olds down to the last game of the season. It was a dead rubber league game up on the pitch. Bring us into the change rooms after, telling the current team that we have these brilliant fellas coming after, and then we feel great. And you know, and it's kind of how he's carried on, I think, his way ever since. He was ultra positive. My brief experience in the preseason in there this year, he's ultra positive with the lads he's dealing with. It's really trying to create a sense of belief and positivity and confidence in fellas, which is only a starting point. You've got to get the wins then to really back that up. And I think that's what Meath have now. But no, he's full of energy, full of enthusiasm, and no small amount of football knowledge and tactical insight as well. I would have been exposed a little bit to that a couple of years ago. We helped out. I gave a small hand with a minor team in the club that he was kind of taking most of the coaching with. And you could just tell he's very, very modern thinking and adapting. So no surprise that, particularly at a time with the new rules and everything else, he's been heading up a management team that have adapted very, very well to that.
And Shane, he had to deal as well with losing a couple of his management team this year, which, you know, is not easy, you know. It's right in the middle of the, or towards the end of the league, wasn't it?
It was just after the league, between the league and the championship, which was only a couple of week turnaround, off the back of losing the last two league games where a win could have got us up. So I think that's a huge testament to him and Conor Gillespie and Shane Supple that stayed on there, that from a football perspective, they've not only just kept it going, they've kind of reignited it ever since then. And to the playing group as well, for having the maturity to handle all that, because I think the general feeling was, oh, that's this year kind of gone. From the outside, there was definitely a fear of that, even in Mead circles around. So that's massive. And I think it also showed the trust that the players had in the fellas that were still there. Yep. Because the two boys were very much leading the coaching side of it. Mm-hmm. And in the modern day, you know yourself, like the coaching is so important. Like, the manager nearly takes a step back on that side of it. And they've to handle that was really, really impressive. Well. Yeah.
You got Keane O'Neill coaching, of course, Kerry now. He's been around the block and done well.
Yeah, Keane has a very good CV. He's obviously, came back to Kerry. Never worked with him, John, so I don't really know, but just from speaking to players who have worked under him, very impressed. He's a larger-than-life character, Keane, but a really, really good coach. And, you know, I suppose, it's like anything, John, when you're successful and you're winning and things are going well, you know, the coaches are getting all the plaudits. When we were having those kind of stuttery performances against Meath, for instance, poor enough, a bit of an improvement against Cavan, maybe the management team were obviously getting a little bit of flack. And I think that's what Jack was referring to when he came out kind of biting there after the Armagh game. But obviously we saw that, as Shane rightly said, where we were at it against Armagh, you could see came not only from Jack, but from the Keane O'Neill blueprint, really, like, you know. So we'll be hoping that they've had 2 weeks now to look at Tyrone. And this is the thing, you know, everyone's saying that Tyrone will have learned a lot about Kerry in the last 2 weeks. Like, make no bones about it, you know, Kerry have been doing their homework on Tyrone as well. So be very, very interesting. I think both games are actually really, really intriguing, but particularly today's one. There's a lot of facets to make it a real, real interesting game.
What was it like playing Tyrone?
I suppose, my first experience was, I suppose, the most famous of them, John.
Huke football game.
The 2003 game. You see, Spillane referred to it as Puke football, but it's actually when you only step back, and I suppose, and it's only when you look back at it in later years, John, Tyrone did not play a swarm defence. They didn't play 14 men behind the ball. What they did was, when you were on the ball, they absolutely went after you. They suffocated you. But they by no means had 14 men behind the ball when you had possession. They just pushed you anywhere all over the field. It didn't matter if you had the ball in your half-back line or up in their half-forward line. They were all over you. And that famous picture, I think it was Owen Brosnan, surrounded by three or four of them. That was Owen back in his own half-back line. So
that was like the opposite of Maradona against Belgium. It was the reverse of that.
Yeah, that famous clip of Maradona. Yeah, well, that was from a free kick now, John. We have to...
but people are definitely selective about that. They kind of think this was the precursor to men behind the ball.
Exactly.
It was more just gambling coming off your man.
Absolutely.
To help somebody else. And
100%.
Would the new rules kill that now? Could you not do that now anymore in this new game?
I think...
No, I'm not sure...
like with the keeper out of play now, you could, but the risks are a lot higher because once you break that, there's so much space in behind now, I feel. But I think the better teams at the moment are really getting after that kind of high pressure because that's, you know, you've your 3v3 up there, you've your whatever full back line, their job is to stop players, not necessarily to play all the way out. So I think you could do it, but just the risk is a little bit higher because you're not able to scramble and get 15 back if you're beaten higher up, if you get me. That'd be my view on it.
But going back to 03 and what Tyrone brought, John, there was still space in behind. Like if you had a drone shot of that Owen Brosnan incident where there was three or four of them around him of over Croke Park, it was still one-on-one down in the forwards and the backs. If Owen Brosnan, and this is where we probably weren't coached and we weren't expecting it, if Owen Brosnan had just got out of that little bit of, it wasn't a little bit of pressure, it was a lot of pressure, but if he managed to get a hand pass out and we had looked up and switched the play, you probably had two or three Kerry fellas free over on the left-hand side and you were in, you were down, you were in. But they were just unbelievable at it. But they were a fantastic team as well, John. Yeah. The players, you could rattle them off. Their forwards, the Doohers, the McGuigans. McGuigan was the best centre-forward in the country for 5 or 6 years in the noughties. Stephen O'Neill.
I thought he was incredible,
unbelievable. So not only did they bring that absolute, insane, incessant pressure on the ball, as Shane says, they had unbelievable players, you know, fantastic footballers, and rightly beat us and went on to win their three All-Irelands in the noughties.
I think it evolved, having gone to the games. 03 evolved into 05, which was better, and they were a better team in 05 than they were in 03. A bit like Donegal in 11, played a game against Dublin. They weren't fully, I suppose, ripe, and then they came back the next year and won the All-Ireland. Yep. And the only one they've won under Jim, but... just interested to see, like, Toronto kind of felt we're doing everything they needed to do to win. But when you're talking about today's game, then, folks, first of all, is a Padraig Hampsey on David Clifford. I saw David Clifford got 3-3 in the league against Tyrone. And this was the issue for Tyrone, is that now the way Sean O'Shea played the last day, Paddy Clifford being back in the picture. What's the plan with David Clifford? Because he's the Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I my view with someone like David Clifford is, you obviously have to put a good marker on him no matter what. And Hampsey's probably, like Ronan McNamee used to do it, so I think Hampsey's the likely one now. But it's about how you stop the ball getting there, because nobody, especially in the Euros, nobody's going to stop him or nullify him entirely, I feel. And if they do, they've done exceptionally well. So stopping the ball, which involves winning possession in the midfield. Like if you even look at the game the last day, he kicked one in the first half against Armagh, was it?
Yeah.
Now he still looked dangerous, and it was an incredible point.
He had a few early on that... They were right shots, but he just pulled them, you know, left. Yeah.
But he really went ahead in the second half when Kerry just owned the kickouts. And then I think that the fitness of Paddy Clifford and Sean O'Shea back in the form, they're the two best fellas to get him the ball. So trying to deal with David Clifford, I think, is one thing. It's how, trying to stop his main providers is the other side. And we saw the last day, we were chatting about it, when they have them all going well, trying to get your matchups and still trying to maintain some sort of defensive shape, it's very, very difficult. Again, as teams are still learning probably how to defend with just 11 versus what we had before.
Mm. How's the kick out then factored into that? How crucial is it for Niall Morgan to get these midfielders involved in it today?
Yeah, I think the difference what Morgan has, like Rafferty was having such a good year leading up to that, and even had a pretty good first half. You know, it was just 20 minute whirlwind. What Morgan has is incredible distance, you know, which makes him, and he can do both. He can ping the little short ones and he does it off a pretty short run up. So I think that's where Kerry will, you know, they won't just take what they did against Armagh. As you said, Keane O'Neill would have sat down the last 2 weeks and said, okay, well, these are offering a completely different threat with two massive fielders as well in the middle of the field, the likes of Matty Donnelly coming from deep as well, because Morgan has that range. So it's difficult because he has that variety, but whatever approach they take, it seems easier now to win the opposition kicker than your own. So Kerry will look to, and I think that's because you can commit fully, say you're three full forwards, they can commit fully to a break without really caring that they've lost their positional sense because you have the ball now. Whereas the fullbacks can't really do that, because if you don't win the ball, you're ran right through. So I don't know exactly how they're going to set up. Will they do the same sort of zonal shape or something different? I don't know. But I think that's going to have such a bearing, because if Kerry have the ball, David Clifford will do damage. It's trying to stop getting it to him. Yeah.
Morgan hit 7 of his kickouts against Dublin, John, into the Dublin half. 7 of them. Seven of them. Tyrone didn't win them all, but he didn't care. Malik Rook didn't care, because if they weren't winning it, it wasn't coming back down.
Straight down, back straight down. Your
which, which, yeah, was, yeah. Which was what that? That's what happened. Rafferty. Mm. Rafferty just kept coming out to the Hogan stand side. That kind of three quarters kick, I'd call it, and Kerry were just prime for it. Right, I was there in the Hogan stand, right in front of me. They had Sean O'Brien and Mark O'Shea, who had a super game after being drafted in late. They just worked in tandem as a team. They were just crashing into people. They were didn't care if they were winning primary possession. They were knocking it down, and Kerry were scooping up the breaks. Then on the other side, Joe O'Connor was the target over there. If I'm Malik O'Rourke today, to counteract that, I'm telling Morgan, put the ball down, Kilpatrick and Kennedy, go deep, yeah. go deep as you can, and Morgan is going to hit it down on top of you, and right down the middle and long. And if you win it, great. If you don't, we're set up and we're ready for the attack then, and we're not allowing one quick kick pass and you're on top of us. So it's going to be crucial today that Niall Morgan kick out, but I think he'll go long more often than not.
I remember even a couple of years ago, Morgan started doing that where everyone had gone obsessed with the percentage of the retention.
Yes. Yeah.
And they were maybe down around 50, but the ones they were winning, as you say, are in the other half with a half back line flooding, and your risk reward's completely different.
Yeah.
You know, if you get it, there's nearly goals on. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you lose it, okay, we're still pretty set and they can handle it a bit better. So that's been in their locker for a while. And I think you're dead right. I think today's a day to really depend on that.
And on the flip side, then it'll be interesting to see how Kerry counteract that, because Kerry did a kind of a 4-4 press against Armagh. It was a brilliant shot of it actually on social media, I think, the next day. So how are Kerry going to set up now, knowing that Morgan's going long? So it's riveting, John. It's going to be really interesting.
What about the other kick-out? The Kerry kick-out?
Yeah, Shane Ryan likes to go, and I know we got caught for the goal against Armagh. Mm. In case he just wasn't on his toes, he thought he had more time. And Shane went with it. But what I liked about Shane in the second half was it didn't deter him.
Yeah.
He went for another few. And you got really, really hard, unselfish runs into the pockets from the likes of Paul Murphy, Evan Looney, who came on, won a very good one out in front of the Cusack stand, the kind of between the Cusack and the Hill. Gavin White won one. So it didn't deter Shane Ryan. He still went with it. And in period of the game where Armagh had either kicked a score or kicked it wide, and, you know, Shane could have felt, I'll just go along here and get it out of here.
Yeah.
He didn't. He got the ball into Kerry hands again. And Kerry were able to build again, you know?
And it opens up pockets. You may keep them honest that they have to, especially now, like it's quite difficult to get those short ones out around the arc because the opposition even so much time to bite on it, read it and bite on it. You get one or two off there, it drags them forward and opens up the spaces that you would ideally prefer to hit.
Exactly.
You nearly have to earn the right to go along sometimes, yeah.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
With AIB, proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
The Hurling Pod on Off the Ball.
I'm looking for forward. I'd love to have skill, I'd love to have pace, and I'd love to have size. What the Cork Six forwards have is they've all those three things in abundance in different areas.
Free wherever you get your podcast.